on Vicodin or marijuana or Prozac. This thing on? We have to be careful what we look at and what we listen to. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how righteous you are. It's going to affect you spiritually and physically. And right now, there's a video called Satanism in the Industry, and it's all about the music industry and how the biggest names are actually coming out on video and admitting that they are conjuring up devils to get their message across on stage because they can't do it themselves. They can't act like that themselves on stage. Beyonce, she has a spirit so powerful that she named it. And she will, you can look this up, and she's on in an interview, and she says that she could not do the things on stage that were needed to be done to sell records. So she conjured up this Sasha. That's what she named her. She named her Sasha. And Sasha does all these promiscuous things on stage that she can't do. But in the same breath, she thanks God for the life that she has. You see how deceived they are? Bob Dylan, he did an interview on 60 Minutes a few years back. And the guy asked him, he said, you know, why are you still doing this? You know, the guy's like 70 years old and he's still on stage. He's still singing. And it's not just a love for music. He admitted right there, he said, because, you know, I made a deal with Destiny back in the day, and I'm holding up my end of the bargain. And the guy said, well, who'd you make a deal with? And he says, well, I made a deal with, and you heard the cut, because he said who he made a deal with. And he says, and I'm holding up my end of the bargain. It's a contract. And he goes, well, who? And then he said again, he asked him, well, who did you make the deal with? And he kind of giggled, and he said, you know, the commander-in-chief of this world. And the guy is like, of this world? And he goes, yeah, of this world and the one you can't see. So he's in a contract with the God of this world. Okay? And he says he's in it until he cuts him loose. Now, if you want to see what happens to him when they got cut loose, you look at Britney Spears. You look at Michael Jackson because they murdered him. Check that out online and you'll find out why Michael Jackson was killed. Because he started coming out against the record producers and against the governments and against the public schools. He started holding town hall meetings 6 months before he was killed, where he was divulging all of these secrets, talking about you're getting lied to. The media is who controls us, he said. Michael Jackson is saying this stuff. Okay? Testimony is this Minaj, what's her name, Nicki Minaj, she's like this black woman with like big giant pink hair, she looks like one of those troll dolls for the end of your pencil, okay? She admits that she has a male spirit in her that was conjured up through rage and that she can't get rid of it, and he's the one that says the things that are being said on stage. And she admits that she's to the point where she cannot control him. He takes over her whenever he wants to. And that he can't leave. And she said that he's here to stay until his message has been put out. I mean, they are saying this themselves. This isn't like a picture of them with written quotes underneath. This is them speaking to them. There's an interview with Britney Spears where she's on Diane Sawyer. And she's sitting there talking to Diane Sawyer on a couch. And she acknowledges a spirit that sits down next to her. Oh, when did you get here? And then goes back to the interview like nothing ever happened. Okay? And you see what the producers did with Britney Spears. Whenever you change your mind, once you get into that contract with them for fame and fortune, whenever you change your mind about that, their career is over with. Look at the actors that have gotten saved. Lou Gossett Jr., when I was a kid, he was one of the biggest actors there was. It was great. All the great Army movies, Air Force movies, and fighting movies and stuff, Lou Gossett Jr. was there. He gets born again, he falls off the radar, which I think is a good thing. You know, you can go do what Kirk Cameron did. You can get saved, and then you can water down the word and not and still want to act and try to mingle the righteous and the unrighteous together, the clean and the unclean, and you can become a failure. You know, if it wasn't for that way of the master, I don't think Kirk Cameron would really have a prayer in Hollywood, or I mean in Christianity, because he's teamed up with some really good street preachers that are really putting the gospel out really well. But, you know, you have to be careful what you listen to, because it's going to affect you, okay? So please, guard yourselves and guard your children. It's the same thing with video games, okay? All this gun debate is going on right now, all over the country, all over the world, really, because all of the nations are calling for our disarmament. If that tells you something, the Chinese want us disarmed. Why would they want that? You know what I'm saying? Russia is saying, hey, they're going to do to you what they did to us in the early 1900s, which was disarm us and then kill 80 million of us. Okay? But, you know, back to this Hollywood and back to video games, you know, if they want to outlaw guns, why aren't they trying to legislate that? They're not. They're in the media. They're not in the assemblies. They're in the media. So you can tell there's a backwards way that they're going about doing it. But Joe Biden, okay, he's trying to get legislation passed. But what does he do? Instead of going to Congress, what does he do? He goes to Hollywood executives and he goes to video gaming executives. They're already controlling the video games in Hollywood, so what do you think's going to change now? You know, first they're teaching our children first-person killing games to kill without discriminating, everyone for themselves. How are they going to change that now? I don't know, but you got to be careful with these video games because they were perfected in the military. I was an air traffic controller, and when we went to school, you walked into a door like that over there, and you thought you were in an airfield, in a control tower, and everything was voice activated. I mean, we spent 2 weeks speaking into microphones, saying all kind of silly words so that the computer knew who we were when we got a mic in a control tower. And I mean, airplanes, I mean, computerized holographic airplanes on a screen in front of you that obeyed your commands. That was in 1991 and 92. Okay? So just imagine what's going on now, you know, how powerful it is now. But it really does affect you, okay? So you have to guard yourselves and guard your children. All right, now last week we're talking about rightly dividing, okay? And we were talking about some basic divisions. And I want to continue with that. I was showing some basic differences between Israel and the church, okay? And I wanted to continue that thought this week. Last week we were talking about the differences between the Jew and the Christian, how there's no signs today, why there's no signs today. We were talking about Israel, the differences between Israel and the church. And I'd like to continue today with some differences within the church, some basic differences within the church. Okay? Now, we know that the church began in Acts 2, okay? But we have to be able to decide, we have to be able to discern, church is found like 117 times in the scripture. I'm not going to go over every passage with you. But if you read those passages, you will see that sometimes they're not talking about the same thing when he's talking about the church. Sometimes you will see churches, okay? Or you will see the church, or you will see the body, okay? And it's letting us know that there's two different types of churches that he's talking about there. Now, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he had the revelation of the church, okay? And I believe it's in Ephesians 3, you'll see that the church was hidden with God in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets could not see the church. They didn't see it. They saw the kingdom and second coming. That's what they saw. Okay, and if you ever study, you know, like Michael Pearl, how he has painted the book of Revelation back there, if you've ever studied Clarence Larkin, he kind of puts the Old Testament down on paper. And he calls it mountain peaks and valleys of prophecy. And he shows you how the Old Testament prophets' line of sight, if you could put it in that literal of a term, how their line of sight had these mountain peaks of prophecy, and they could see, you know, the second coming, the kingdom, things of that nature, the millennium. They could see that kind of stuff, okay? But what they couldn't see was the church age, the rapture, all that stuff was down in the valleys. You see what I'm saying? So there's two different types of churches, okay? So the first thing you got to remember is you've got to have your divider, right? We mentioned this, right? That's our divider, isn't it? The cross. It divides, okay? It divides things. It divides old from new, Jew from Gentile, Israel from the church, okay? It divides. That's what it does. Lost and saved, okay? It divides. So that's what we have to do. We have to divide also. We have to discern, okay? So some differences in a local church and a spiritual church. And there are differences, and you need to know what they are, because you got a group of folks out there that say there's only one church, and it's a local church, period. It's not a spiritual church, okay? So here's some basic differences in a local and a spiritual church. In the spiritual church are all the faithful. The spiritual church, all are faithful. Now what that means, in the spiritual church, there are only born-again believers. Only born-again believers, okay? In the local church are some of the faithful. Okay? I don't know your guys, anybody's heart in here. Some of you might be unsaved. Okay? You can have unsaved people sitting in these pews and saved people. So you're going to have some that are faithful, okay? Some that are faithful in a local church, saved and unsaved alike, okay? The spiritual church is always spoken of in a singular fashion. There's only one spiritual church, okay? The local church is going to be plural. You'll hear it talked about in there's churches here, churches there. Paul went unto the churches in Thessalonica and stuff like that, okay? So it's plural for the local and singular for the spiritual. The other difference is the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you into the spiritual church. The baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you into spiritual church. We know that that takes place at the new birth, all at once. It's not some second work of the Holy Ghost, some second miracle in your life. It happens the minute you get born again. The Bible says that the minute you get born again, the Holy Ghost, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then you are sealed until the day of redemption. And this is the earnest. So if anybody asks you what the Holy Ghost's name is, you tell them Ernest. Okay? Now, in the local church, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep turning my back on you, I'm sorry. But in the local church, okay, water baptism puts you into the local church. Okay? That puts you into the local church, not the spiritual church. Okay? The problem with America's churches is they're more concerned about that than they are about this, the Word of God. Okay? So they'll go door to door, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and that's over in 30 seconds. But the big deal is getting them on that bus and bringing them in to dunk them in water. Okay? And then you have, you know, we call it the Acts 2:38 smorgasbord. Have you ever heard of that? Ever heard it mentioned like that? Okay? You've got all your major denominations, they all claim Acts 2:38 as their way of salvation and why they baptize. Okay? And it's just silly that they focus on that and not on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It shows you where they are. They're stuck on this local church, and they're not discerning between the two. Amen? Another difference. The spiritual church is alive. It's an organism. Acts 2, when the Holy Ghost came to it. Okay? The local church is an organization. Okay? Two different things. One's an organism, one's an organization. Okay? Now, this is a good one. The spiritual church's future is the rapture. Amen? Praise God. Can't wait. The rapture, even if it is me wanting to leave here. I want to see Jesus, but I want to leave this place too. Okay? So, the spiritual church's future is the rapture. The local church, I'm getting goosebumps over this one. The local church's future is that a C or an S? Apostasy. Okay? That's the future of this church. The one you're sitting in. The future of this church is apostasy, and it already is working right now. In everybody's hearts and minds, apostasy is working. If you don't admit that, you're blinded. That's why you've got to constantly study, and you've got to constantly check yourself. Okay? Now, here's one last good one. The spiritual church, its main attribute is unity. We're one body in Christ. Every member of the spiritual church affects every member of the spiritual church. If you're born again and you're looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at, you're making me look at things I'm not supposed to be looking at. You're making Jesus Christ look at things that he's not supposed to be looking at. Because we're all one body. And it's a holistic thing, right? Everything's connected in the body. Okay? So the attribute of the spiritual church is unity. What do we get in the local churches? Division. That's what you get in the local church. Division. Whether you're King James or not. And then one more attribute of the spiritual church. How do you spell leaven? L-E-A-V-E-N. There's no leaven in the spiritual church. Period. It's in the local church. Crept in unawares. Wolves in sheep's clothing. But not in the spiritual church. You're not fooling anybody in the spiritual church. Okay? So those are some differences in the local church and the spiritual church. Basic differences. Okay? Now, we're talking about rightly dividing, okay? So those are some basic differences. Now let's talk about rightly dividing. Rightly dividing is the key to understanding this Bible. It unlocks the scriptures. If you don't rightly divide, you're going to be over in Luke, Matthew, and you're going to be saying, well, I got to obey the law. I got to sell everything. I got to go to Mass. Okay? But I'm sorry, you're not going to say that about you. You're going to say that about everybody else. But you yourself are going to sit home on Sunday and justify your works. Because that's how it goes. Because when you're picking and choosing like that, you're going to pick what's good for you and what's not good for others. And that's what God tells us. That's what Paul tells us in Romans. When he says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Okay? So, what you have to do is you have to rightly divide. That's going to open the scriptures for anybody. Okay? Now, when you're rightly dividing, it's easier said than done. You got to ask yourself three questions. Who's doing the talking? Who's he talking to? And what's being said? You have to have those three things in your mind at all times. Who's doing the talking? Who's he talking to? And what's being said? Okay? As far as who's doing the talking, there's only three people that can be talking. Either God, man, or Satan. Okay? And in Genesis, you'll find in Genesis 3, you'll find that God, man, and Satan all speak. Genesis 3:1-8. All three of them speak there. Okay? And then in Matthew, you have Satan speaking, and he questions the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ. Remember when he was tempting him? He was questioning God there. So you have Satan and Jesus Christ speaking there. Okay? So you have to keep that in mind. God, man, or Satan, that's who's, you need to know who's doing the talking. Those are the three things. Now, who is he talking to? Is your other question that you have to have in mind. Okay? Now, there's only three people that he could be talking to, three types of people he could be talking to. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 10, I believe it's 32, but it says that the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God, those are the three different groups or races of people that are addressed in the Scriptures. Okay? So you have to ask those questions. Who is he talking to? And then you have to be diligent about that and understand what is being said. Is he speaking to individuals? Or are they speaking to a corporate body? Okay? Joel 2 is a wonderful chapter on the millennial kingdom and the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the charismatics get all messed up there, and they're applying that to today. But it's speaking to a corporate body, a nation, a group of people, not just individuals. We know that salvation and gifts and things of that are an individual thing nowadays. We know that through rightly dividing. Amen? But they get messed up and say that the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh right now, and that men and women alike are supposed to be prophesying and all of that good stuff, and that the latter rains are here. I mean, it's raining right now, so I guess they're right. But you see what I'm saying? That's a national thing, okay? Not an individual thing, okay? So you got to understand that. Look at Romans 11:18. This is a New Testament one about what's being said. You got to pay attention because the writers will switch back and forth. You know, with a comma or a colon or something like that, a semicolon, and you have to pay attention to that. And here in Romans 11, verse 18, is that what I said? Yeah, 18? Yep. Romans 11:18, it says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Is that speaking to one person? Or is it speaking to a whole group of people? It's speaking to a whole group of people, right? Look at Romans 11:25. There's your context. The nation of Israel, okay? He's showing you how there's a corporate body that it's different from the individual, okay? Look at Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. individual. It's not a country. It's not a national organization. It's not the Vatican City. Okay? It's an individual thing. Whosoever, anybody in here, can call upon Jesus Christ and be saved. Okay? It's an individual thing. So you have to understand what's being said. Are they speaking to individuals or nations? Now, to whom is he speaking? Okay? Who's he talking to? Jew, Gentile, Church of God. Okay, let's look at a couple there. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. There's your three groups. Jew, Gentile, Church of God. Okay? So who is he talking to? Jew, Gentile, Church of God. All right? Here's a big one. Look at Exodus 31. Exodus 31:12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Okay? Who's he talking to? It's too easy. It's right there in plain English, right? The nation of Israel. It's between God and Israel, not God and the Seventh-day Adventists, right? Not God and the Pope, not God and me when I'm too lazy to go do anything on Saturday and Sunday, okay? It's a sign between the nation of Israel and God, not the church, okay? So you got to understand who he is talking to, those three groups, okay? Let's look at one more. Romans 1:16. Who's he talking to? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Okay? The Bible says that the Jew seeketh after a sign, the Greek seeketh after wisdom. Okay? There is some division there. God is telling you something here. He gave something to the Jew, and he gave something to the Greek. Okay? What did he give the Jew? Signs, wonders, healing, physical blessings. What did he give to the Greek? A book. Because we seek it after knowledge through reading books. That's what we do. Okay? The Jew doesn't. He seeks after knowledge through signs and wonders. Okay? That's his confirmation that he's on the right track. In the Old Testament, if a Jew obeyed the law, he could literally demand healing from God. Because he was obligated to give it to him. Okay? So there's some differences there. Jew, Gentile, and the Church of God. Now, most of the epistles are going to be to the church. Okay? Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So most of the epistles are going to be to the church. Some of them, you know, you've got some transitional periods in there, which we're going to talk about later. Okay? But you have to understand that. Okay? So I was going to do a couple more things on the board, but we're kind of running out of time. So let's go ahead and stop there today, and we'll pick up some more differences, some more divisions. Pick up some more divisions, and I'm not talking about dispensations. I'm just talking about divisions right now, and we'll talk about that. Okay, but right now, what I want to do is, if anybody has any prayer requests, does anybody have any prayer requests? Yes. out there. Yes. Health and house. Health and house, right? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Unspoken. Yes, sir. Eddie, unspoken. Yes, ma'am. Christy, unspoken. Unspoken? Okay. Heavy heart? Pray for us. We're going to be selling my truck and boat. Pray that we get top dollar for it, okay? Because we need that money to fix up the sailboat down in Fort Pierce. So we're praying that it's going to be a good chunk of change to help us out down there. Brother, would you... Sorry, is there anybody else? Would you lead us in prayer, please? And then we'll be dismissed after prayer, please.
We're afraid you'd take it.